T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe to Cameron, John, Richie, that's right, Phillies baseball here on WIP. A couple more months, but a couple questions we don't know. Are they going to get to October? Well, I actually think I know the answer. I think it's no, but I don't know the answer. And are they going to make trades in the next 4 days before baseball's trade deadline, which is on July 30th this year, to try to help them get across the finish line and into the playoffs? For more on that and everything related to the Phillies, joining us right now on the show is Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Of course, you can download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John, of course, one of the very best at covering Major League Baseball and all over this trade deadline, and he joins us right now. How you been, John?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're good, and we're curious, John. We're curious of what's going to happen here with the Phils. And frankly, very different opinions around here of what should happen. Let's start with this. Do you, in your opinion, and from what you hear from people, are the Phillies more likely to buy, to sell, or to hold? Stand pat, they're four back with 4 days to go into the trade deadline. Buy, sell, or hold? Oh. What's the most likely path?
Well, thank you for the easy one. They're going to buy. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, Dave Dombrowski was brought in here to win. He wasn't brought in here to rebuild. I understand they're around 500. It seems like they're always around 500, but there's an opportunity for them. They're only four games back. The Mets haven't really gotten hot. You know, DeGrom is out at the moment. We don't know when he's coming back. They've got other pitchers out. And, you know, they're one of those few teams on the outside looking in right now that's got a shot, and they're going to go for it. You know, I give them credit for spending. I know they're always around 500 within a game or two, it seems like, over the last few years, but they're bound and determined to change that. So they will go for it. They will go for some relief. They're looking at starters, looking at center field, and the effort will be there. I'll just say that.
John, are we talking all in buy when you say the effort will be there? Are we talking fringe deal by like the last few years where they're doing something, it's just not the big thing?
Yeah, I mean, there aren't that many big things out there, but they're going to try to do the big thing. Whether they get it done, I couldn't be sure. I think, you know, Dave Dombrowski has acquired Kimbrel before.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at him pretty seriously. He fits them, obviously. I mean, he fits anybody. Obviously, a very good closer can help any team, but I mean, you guys know better than I do how bad that bullpen has been, not only this year, but last year
yep.
as well, and how badly, I mean, they've tried to redo it, but it's still not too good. And, I mean, you know, I think that they're a logical, if not the logical team for Kimbrel.
Wow.
You know, they're going to look at some other big pieces. You know, I know they like Buxton. They'd love to get a center fielder. I'm skeptical that Minnesota's going to move those pieces. They don't want to punt on next year. They think they can be in it next year. I'm skeptical of that, but they believe it. So that's them. It's their decision. So I'm not sure they're going to get that center fielder. I know they've talked to Marte, but I would say they got a good shot at Kimbrel, and they're going to bulk up that pen however they can, I'm sure.
Who else is in on Kimbrel?
Well, I think Toronto is in from what I understand, but I'm sure that just about any team who's contending. I would say the White Sox have a pretty darn good closer in Hendricks. You know, I'd say that about San Diego, too, by Melanson, but who knows what A.J. Preller's willing to do. He had three all-star infielders, including an all-star second baseman. He just acquired an all-star second baseman, so I wouldn't put it past them. Houston needs Penn. You know, there are a lot of teams that need Penn, no question about that. So, but not everybody needs them. And in fact, I don't think anybody needs them as badly as the Phillies do. So that's why if I had a guess, I'd say Phillies for Kimbrel.
John, how realistic is it that the Phillies will breach the luxury tax threshold?
Yeah, I think there's a chance they'll do that. I mean, I'm sure they're tired of being around 500. It's tired of their fans are seeing them at 500. I'm sure they're even more tired. They have been willing to spend. Obviously, they've gone out and spent on stars and Harper and Wheeler and McCutcheon. And by and large, those signings have been pretty good. Real Muto back, they've been good. I mean, you can't really regret them. You know, they've done a nice job with that, but you know, they still haven't gotten over the top. You know, they're a big market team with a huge revenue base. And, you know, I think they're one of those teams that's willing to go break through that threshold. And if they see an opportunity, I don't think they're going to hesitate.
John Heyman with us here right now, talking about the trade deadline coming up in the Phils. John, Philly's starting pitching really stood out in a negative way this weekend in the games the Phillies lost. Who could they acquire? We'll get to Hamels in a moment, but an actual trade. Who could they trade for that could slide into this rotation?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rough market for starting pitching. That's the thing that everybody's looking for. All the contenders, with the possible exception of the White Sox and maybe the Astros, are looking for a starter. And really, there's no guarantees that any of them are going to be dealt. I would say Scherzer has moved up from about a 5% chance to be dealt to about a 70%, I think.
Wow.
That'd be the big guy. But, I mean, there are some issues there. I mean, he obviously missed his last start with the tricep tweak. He does have a 10-5. I think that can be gotten around. But, you know, people are going to have to check out the medicals. And, of course, in the Phillies' case, it's going to have to be a question of whether Washington wants to deal in the division for Scherzer. Not sure that they want to do that. They don't love the idea of dealing Scherzer to begin with, but to deal in the division,
be a huge press. What about the issue with him and Girardi about a month ago? Do you think that plays into whether he would not want to be here?
I wouldn't think so. But, you know, being you have 10-5, you can basically call your team, right?
Yep.
So, I wouldn't think so, but I think – you know, it's all in the heat of the moment, so I think you probably get past that. But that's an interesting question.
John,
he better not go to the Mets.
I don't expect them to trade him in the division. I'll just start with that.
No, yeah. I'm kind of with you. There's enough contenders outside the division. They don't have to trade him in the division.
All right, John, what about – let's get to the latest on Cole Hamels. Sounds like he really won't be pitching in the big leagues until around early September. So what do you hear about the latest on Hamels and when he would be likely to sign?
Yeah, it may take a while because, you know, he wants the perfect spot. And in terms of his readiness, I think you're right. I don't think it's quite there yet. He was throwing 88 to 90, so probably not that far away, but it could be a little while. There were 20 teams looking, so it's hard to predict where he will go. But, you know, he's going to have to pick a team that's going to be in the postseason, right? I mean, you're signing for this year. You're going to really sign with a team that's not going to be in the postseason? I think that would be unlikely. So the Phillies probably better be in a better position than they are now to really have a chance there.
John, let's attack this trade deadline from the complete opposite end now. I've been advocating for about a week or so that I think the Phillies should actually sell because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I know they could. I just don't think they will. Let's say they go that route because they lose – two games in the division in the next 4 days, and they're six out or they're seven out 4 days from now. What would the value on the trade market be of Segura and Didi, both of whom are under contract next year at a decent price, or McCutcheon?
Yeah, I don't think it's
who's you know final year of his deal. Would they be players that other teams would value if the Phillies go that route?
I mean, they're good players, but I everything I'm hearing on the market is everybody's looking for pitching. So if you got a starter, you got a reliever, you can trade, you're going to get something good for him. But, I mean, the position players, I mean, I think Pittsburgh did fine with what they got for Adam Frazier, but you're talking about the guy leading the league in hitting, right? They didn't get anybody that most people have even heard of, you know? So, you know, I just don't think that the market is going to be there for a good position. But the only position players I think where you're really going to get decent value would be guys who are extremely versatile. So Frazier had that going for him. Merrifield is very versatile. He can play outfield or infield. Bryant, outfield or infield. I mean, certainly if there's a huge name like a Story, you might get a little bit of an extra premium for. But, you know, we're talking about good players, Gregorius and Segura and McCutcheon, on the back end of their very good careers. I'm not seeing them get much. So that's another reason why I'm fairly convinced that they're going to go for it.
Wow.
And try to buy. I mean, look at Chicago. They've got Baez. Do we hear of any interest in Baez? He's a pretty good player and younger than the guys that you mentioned. Story, are we hearing much? I mean, we hear the Yankees would take him, but, I mean, what do you hear they're offering? I mean, I'm hearing it might be like a Frazier or Andohar or something like that. You know, I just don't think these position players are that highly valued now, particularly guys who play one position or, you know, in Segura's case, you can play a little short, but guys who play one position just are not going to bring back much.
John, phenomenal insight, as always. We always love having you on the program. I know you're going to be busy over the next 4 days. Good luck with it all, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road as well. Thank you so much, John.
All right. It's always a pleasure, guys. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, great stuff. John Heyman telling us the Phil's likely to buy, and that was, again, Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help make us all better bettors through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
That not is, just in, but more in than we've been.
That shocks me.
Well, I'm excited.
I am unnerved.
There's a window, and he brings up, you know, great points. These players that we're, you know, our best players are not all the spring chickens that you'd hope. We've got a window if we want to reach anywhere while these guys are young enough to still do it.
All right, let me
we got to add.
Let me say
and
something.
And he said there's a good chance we spend into that luxury tax.
I heard him. Look, I'm going to tell you something right now. That is full disclosure on my weekend. Full disclosure. It was the first time in a long time, and certainly the first time this season, when I can honestly say I was very close to rooting for the Mets to win their games.
Oh, stop.
So the Phillies don't get sucked into being a buyer. Now, I want to be clear. I didn't actively root for the Mets to win, but I thought about, you know what? I think it'll be better for the Phillies that the Mets win so the Phils don't get sucked in to being a buyer thinking they're closer than they are or closer to getting across the finish line in the playoffs than they are. I'm just being honest with you. I don't think the Phillies are going to make the playoffs, and I believe being a buyer would be the wrong course of action for the Philadelphia Phillies. I can't state it any more clear. I know there's a chance. I think it's a small chance that they make it, so I don't want them to buy.
Man, they need to buy. And you're saying that you would rather, what, hold on to the players in our farm system? Like, I have so little faith in our farm system that I don't expect these players are going to amount to much anyway. You know, like, I hear people say all the time, oh, you have to hold on to your prospects. Why?
Well, because
I don't think they'll be good regardless, because that whole last regime for however many years with Matt Klentak spearheading it,
right?
They didn't know what they were doing. Like, let's just unload what we can to get what we can get right now to make this team the best we can make it.
But
that's all we can hope for.
I need to feel more confident that they would get across the finish line if I'm going to do that. I don't.
Well, I think we have a great chance to. We have a great chance to be good enough to win this division.
They're just not good enough. Just not.
They'll be much better if you add starting pitching. They'll be much better if you add Craig Kimbrell in addition to that starting pitching.
Better. All right, let's
think about it, man. We're 4 games back, and that means, you know, we get a hot week while the Mets have a down little period.
You are such wisher. You're a wisher. John's a wisher.
We have as good a chance as the Mets do. Mets.
They're
not great.
They're not great. But they're 4 games better than the Phils.
Yeah. Well, that can change real quickly.
All right, to the phones, 215-592-9494 to react and respond to that. Also, all the conversation today about Deshaun Watson, Do you want the Eagles to acquire him? The Olympics, how much are you watching? What's standing out to you there? And also Voracek getting traded. I mean, he was for a decade, you know, for the most part, their second best player. I mean, not every year, but over the last decade, I think it's fair to say he was basically their second best player. And, you know, they shipped him out, and, you know, they're trying to restructure this roster and the salaries and kind of point to the future. And look, tip of the cap to Voracek on being a solid flyer. But let's also not, like, you know, he wasn't spectacular. And unfortunately, his era of Flyers hockey is for the most part viewed as a failure of an era. I mean, they barely got to the playoffs. When they did, they barely won in the playoffs. You know, they won a series last year. They won a series in 2012 and otherwise haven't advanced in the postseason and a lot of years missed the playoffs. So it's not all his fault. He was pretty good. Wasn't really great. You know, it's not, you know, it is what it is. And I'm glad they're trying to restructure this thing. Let's talk to Eric right now, who's with us. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Doing well, Eric.
Me personally, I'm in on the Eagles trading for Deshaun Watson.
Me too.
You're talking about a quarterback that you can argue is almost just as good as Patrick Mahomes, who people say is the best quarterback in the league.
Well, he's not that good, but he's very good.
He's
a top five quarterback.
Top five.
And he will be for the next decade.
Yeah, I'm more like top seven or so, but he's in that range.
Think about what he did with that Texans team that weren't really that good, and a coaching you could say is kind of was suspect.
Yeah.
And I know he has a lot going on. To me, more than the case, I just worry about his judgment, because whether he is innocent or guilty, what he's accused of,
yeah,
he put himself in a situation
with many women. With many different people. Yeah.
Many different women. And
yeah,
that's what makes him, more than anything, because I feel like you haven't heard anything criminal going on. Like John said, the attorney that represents these women is a little sketchy. And the whole thing surrounding on both sides, it's a little.
Well,
sketchy.
we just don't know. I mean, we just are so in the dark on what the reality. Eric, I'll give you two other things that do concern me about Watson. Completely other issues we haven't even touched on today. One is the contract's massive. So when a guy's making $40 million, that's a huge part of your salary cap. The other is, even before the reports surfaced and then ultimately the lawsuits centered around the sexual assault allegations, I was turned off back in, I want to say it was around January or February, when Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston. I don't want a player who, when things get tough, and they had a tough year last year, and their organization made mistakes, and that put the existing players on the team in a compromised spot, and obviously Bill O'Brien did some bad things that, you know, just created a not great roster. But I don't want a player that, when things get tough, wants to run for the hills. And I want to put that – I mean, I know sometimes it can be a more established guy, Brady at the end of his career, near the end, Rodgers, who knows quite what's going on there. But I want a guy – like, let me put it this way. You're not going to be great every year, the team. And I don't want the player to run for the hills if the chips get down. And that turned me off as a football fan that Watson had that mentality back around January or February. Because the Texans gave him a tremendous amount of money. Tremendous amount of money. Huge signing bonus. The whole thing. Gave him the no trade clause. And he's like, all right, yeah, I'm out of here. And I'm like, that's not so cool.
In his defense, and I agree, it is a massive contract. But, like, we're arguing that it's, what, one of the top five, seven guys in the league.
Yeah, he's a really great player.
I say top four.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I think he's top four in my opinion.
Yeah.
But and as far as him wanting out, we're talking – listen, with the Texans, when Andre Johnson, who doesn't say anything, is speaking out,
yep,
it's something going on. And this is a guy with inside track on what's going on inside that organization.
Right.
I don't think that if he raises no contract with no trade clause, which I don't see why he wouldn't, because he doesn't have that many options of – why he will want out. We can say what we want about the Eagles organization. They don't draft the best all the time, but we're a good organization.
I agree. I agree. So, all right, Eric, give me a great movie based on a TV show or a TV skit.
The Fugitive.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
what
great
do you say?
Fugitive.
Answer.
What do you say?
The Fugitive.
I couldn't hear him. I just
why?
It was super clear what he said.
I flat out didn't hear what he
said. You want to play? You should play that back for Joe. The fact that you couldn't hear that. I mean, he was the only person talking. It was clear as day.
I didn't hear it.
How?
I just didn't hear it.
It's impossible that you didn't hear it.
It's just the way my ears are.
And you didn't hear it twice.
Well, when's the second time? When you guys said it the first time?
No, I think he said it twice, or we repeated
you
it,
repeated
and you
it.
Didn't hear it the second
well, you
time
guys,
either.
You guys said it at the same
that's,
time.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Here, I have it.
But we said it at the same time.
All right, let me hear it. I agree. I agree. All right, Eric, give me a great movie based on a TV show or a TV skit.
The Fugitive.
Yeah, I hear it that time.
How can you not hear that?
That time I hear it.
Well, how did you not hear it the first time?
Maybe because I was getting ready to transition to my next comment to absolutely expose you.
He said it like The Fugitive.
Can I expose you?
Just like that.
I want to expose you, John.
Flat out.
I want to expose you. Because I was thinking of something you said earlier in the show. Because, you know, I got Watson somewhere in the top seven, maybe five or six. You say top four. For those that missed it earlier, my partner, my co-host, my buddy, football player John Ritchie, said Deshaun Watson over Tom Brady. John, come on.
Yeah.
Hey, Brady just won another Super Bowl. I'm not talking about Brady from 2005 or 2002 or 2012. Even now, with what he's still got at the age of 43, having just won a Super Bowl, you can't say Watson over Brady.
Yeah, I sure can. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Deshaun Watson
just ridiculous.
Is a better quarterback, like in terms of the actual performance of playing quarterback on a Sunday to Sunday basis.
Oh, my God. And,
come on, man. Last year, Tom Brady turned the ball over an awful lot. Tom Brady was saved by a great defense in a lot of cases.
Can we turn his microphone off? Saved by a great defense. He won the Super Bowl.
Yep. And
you think he didn't bring something to that locker room, not just on the field, but the will
yeah,
to.
Of course he did.
Of course. That's part of being the quarterback, being the leader, being all that.
Yeah. All right.
I am. For those that say John Ritchie, football guy. We had a guy last week, infallible. Ritchie essentially infallible because he played pro football. He's got Watson over Brady. Come on. 215-592-9494. I'm getting to
this. I saw Tom Brady throw a lot of inaccurate passes last season.
I saw him
win.
He's
old enough that it is starting to catch up.
Won the Super Bowl. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.